What's going on?
Dynasty Football Network presents.
What do you mean?
Podcast with your two co-hosts, Tudrick and Swags, and host Steve Halepka.
What's up, everybody? It is conference championship weekend, and this is the Super Flexible Podcast. I am your host, Steve Halepka. Joined here tonight, of course, but with my boys, Swags. What's going on, Swags?
What's up?
How you doing, man? You excited for this weekend of football?
Yeah, yeah, always.
Should be better than last weekend. Last weekend we had a bunch of clunkers, so I'm excited for this weekend.
Definitely.
Yeah. And then, of course, we also have Tudrink. What's going on, Tudrink?
I was
going
to say he wasn't here tonight.
You I'm playing like that already?
We're going to trick him. What's up, fellas?
I am still
a little hungover from open bar two nights ago. But I'm here.
Tell everyone about what was going on a couple nights ago. Tudrink.
I had a little appearance on the open bar with our boy J Mike that was on during the season for us here, and Gabe. They run an awesome show over there. Had Bobby Wrecked Fantasy and Bronco Becca on over there. We had a blast. It went a long time, and I drank a bunch. I feel like that's the rule. Like, I know everybody doesn't abide by it, but that's the rule of the show. So
it was a fun listen though, and like good talk and good debate back and forth, and some agreements on some silly stuff and some disagreements on some good stuff.
And if you want to laugh, you should watch it, because I obviously get drunker as the show goes.
I'm just mad about their Baker Mayfield take, Steve. That's all.
I have not listened as of yet. So what was their Baker Mayfield take? Let's do a little spoiler for the
He's a QB2.
Serviceable.
I'll respectfully disagree with that.
Put him in the good category.
Yeah, I'll put him in the good category as well, considering he's got like two actual weapons.
Well, Steve, to be fair, you need to listen to Bobby's quarterback scale. There's a little difference in there.
It's just like the Andy Dalton scale, where like if you're better than Andy Dalton, you're like a top half of the NFL quarterback. If you're worse than Andy Dalton, you don't belong in the league.
I'll save it, but pretty much it's Russell Wilson and Jimmy Q at the top. Some for handsomeness, some for goodness. And Eli's kind of like the bottom ledger line.
Yeah, well, that's fair. I mean, he's kind of shitty now. So, so let's definitely dig into this to a couple of topics right now. Obviously, some news and notes from the NFL. We're going to do a section on startup strategies for Superflex leagues, Superflex dynasties. So we'll have a nice, get back into the swing of things. It's always startup season when you're playing Dynasty. So I know there are a bunch of folks doing some startups now the regular fantasy season's over. Tudrink's going to have his double shots for championship weekend. And of course, we're going to talk some super flex trades. But before we do, let's talk about where you can find us on Twitter. So Swags, where can the folks find you?
I am at @DFF_Swag.
Tudrink.
@FL2DrinkMinimum and @SuperflexPod.
Awesome. And I am @TheRealHalepka and @SuperflexTrades. So first and foremost here under the news and notes. So a report came out from ESPN Panthers reporter Dave Newton that Cam Newton might sit out 2019 if he's in another shoulder operation. So kind of scary here for any Cam Newton owner, which I am, that he might be missing 2019 if he undergoes surgery. We don't know, what the exact surgery would be, but it sounds a lot very similar to maybe like the Andrew Luck situation where he had the shoulder issue and then sat out for a year then before coming back. So Swags, first reaction to this news about Cam where he could miss 2019, like what are you doing right now with him? Are you holding? Are you trying to buy on the cheap? What's your plan for Cam going forward here?
It's a tough one. I'm definitely not a buyer of Cam at this point, but I don't want to sell out super cheap either. I think that he still holds like a decent value. I'll use an unpopular name for myself this next couple weeks, but Andrew Luck as an example, and the value that he maintained through his year off and the recovery that he went through. So I think that Cam Newton will still have a lot of value. And if you can buy low at any time, I think you definitely jump on that.
Okay. So for you, what would a buy low look like in terms of rookie picks?
Rookie picks? Yeah. I would give you an absolute buy low. I mean, I don't know. I think that his value is still a couple firsts at this point in a super flex league. My buy low, like I'd love to get him from somebody that's worried for like one first or 2020, you know, and a couple other pieces here and there. Something I don't believe in as much that somebody else might, like Lamar Jackson and first. Something like that. I bet you Cam will be a starting quarterback longer than Lamar Jackson.
Yep.
So yep. If I could make some of those kind of moves to try to get Cam, I'm all about it. But I don't want to pay a ton for a quarterback who is as beat up as Cam is, has had the kind of career he has where he's, I mean, his body takes a beating, right? I mean, you guys agree, like it's...
For sure.
It's going to, his shelf life is shortened.
Yeah. So, I mean, question there for Cam now, if you're looking to, like you said, kind of buy on the cheap here, or if you're a Cam owner, are you kind of panicked? What's your thoughts here?
He seems like a hold.
I'm more panicked for that offense in general for the year and what it might do to your fantasy team in whole, like outside of like you and I were talking about two drink like McCaffrey or somebody like that. But I'm more worried about what might it do to that team. Like instead of having three or four relevant players weekly, we'll probably have one or two now.
AMC.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, for sure. Yeah, I mean, Cam is basically that offense besides CMC. So it could be a real massive downturn for that Panthers team if he sits out. Because we saw this past year, I mean, there's nothing behind him. I mean, yeah. Kyle Allen was okay and a half, but like it was kind of
well,
gross.
And even just the way defenses have to play Cam because of how versatile he is.
Yep, completely changes how that offense has to run so, schematically.
100% definitely right. Worries me a little bit. But man, if I'm in a startup draft and I can get Cam late because of this news coming out and he's just sitting there and then I can put him on my IR, I'm all about that. Like,
yeah.
I saw some people talking on Twitter today about Kareem Hunt and how he's not worth a future first or a 2019 first because he's going to get signed on a team and then be suspended for 6 to 10 games. And I think that's very well true. But my argument to that was, what rookie are you positive is going to hit within that 6 to 10 game span?
That's a good point.
So, I mean, that 6 to 10 games, like, yeah, that really sucks. It sucks more for two drinks, somebody like you who spent an incredible amount like pretty days much. Before it happened. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? But if you can buy him for a first and you're telling me that 1.10 is going to be better than Kareem Hunt by week 6 or 10 if he's playing, like, I don't know if I agree with that.
Yeah, I mean, I think you definitely have a good point there where, you know, if the suspension is only for those 6 or 10 games.
And the 2020 pick isn't playing in my lineup this year.
Right, right.
So I think he's definitely worth a first.
Mm-hmm. That's a good point. So let's move on now to Philly. Another quarterback question here. So Doug Peterson did confirm that Carson Wentz is their quarterback going forward. I know there's a bunch of, you know, Philadelphia folks that were saying, hey, we need to keep Foles and trade Wentz and this some of this nonsense. So Foles next year, and this has been a hot topic of conversation between the three of us. So we'll start with two drink on this one. Thoughts on Foles next year? He's a starter, we assume, right? So what's the asking price right now on Nick Foles?
Yeah, so I'm not going to answer this one first, Steve. You are the owner of Foles here. So
I am. In our league, I am.
And I feel like, in the one dynasty Superflex we're talking about here,
yep.
I feel like both Swags and myself have been after him. So you're the line setter here, buddy.
Yeah, I mean, I think he's worth at least – one first round pick, just knowing he's going to get a starting job. I mean, he's played better than Case Keenum, and Case Keenum was a starter in the league and signed a big fat contract. So I definitely think he's worth at least one first round pick, whether it be 2019, 2020, and then either a lesser asset, not necessarily a starting quarterback, but maybe a lesser bench asset or something along those lines.
Is a random 2020 first worth more than the 1/12/19?
I would think so.
So
in my opinion, yes.
Would you like my 2020 first for Foles? And let's get this deal done right now.
Ooh.
I gotta look at your bench too. I might want something a little something from your bench.
Well, then we might have to go back to that 19
give him,
first.
Give him Eli.
I might do that. So we'll think about that one for a little bit.
Oh man, I was excited And then
it happened. There's a lot of show left.
What just happened?
There's a lot of show left. This could get done in the next 10 minutes. Who knows?
Until then.
Love it. I love it. So let's move on now. So Swags, yeah, what are you thinking the price is on Foles, or do you want my assumption of a first round draft pick?
All right. Yes. Yeah, so I agree with you, and I see your point, like why he has that value. I think he has that value just because of the way the market is for Foles right now and the hype behind him. I think that Foles will get a starting job. We were talking about this really quick before we hopped on. And then, so Two Drink and I were also talking about this yesterday on Fantasy Football Breakdown. My problem starts to be like, and I've talked about Foles in a couple leagues, Steve, and you being one of those people, is you get to this point where you feel like you're closing in on the deal. And then I start to wonder at this point, like, how much can I go get Stafford for? Or what's the Dalton price? Like, I know what teams these guys are on. So I'm this close to getting Foles, and I'm paying this much for a guy that hasn't even signed. Maybe he's Wentz's backup again for some crazy reason, because you never know. Like, let's just hypothetically, we don't know. But you're paying all this amount, and like you said, Steve, like, you've almost got this deal done with Two Drink with a first, and now you want a little bit more. I don't know what that a little bit more is or could be. Hopefully we find out by the end of the show. That'd be exciting. But my problem starts to be at that point, like, what can I go get Dalton for? Because I'm all about buying Dalton low off that injury. I'm all about seeing if people are uninterested in Stafford. It's a little bit harder now because we hype any coaching change, and that just happened with the offense. So but when I am looking, I think, like, well, man, if I'm gonna give a first for Foles right now, I'll give two for Stafford.
Right, so it's a question of, you know, how much are you willing to part with those picks? How
versus when, once we get there, you know, and like once we're talking about pieces I didn't plan on having in a trade, I start to wonder, like, okay, now that those are on the line, like, what else could I do with those pieces? So that's my problem with the Foles talks that I've personally had, is I start to think, like, huh, there's other quarterbacks too. Like, I think that there's a weird thing going on right now where we have a lot of young quarterbacks in the league right now. Like, I mean, if you just look at, like, the 2018 draft class alone, we've got five new starters in the NFL from that class. And then if you take the 2017, we've got Ed Watson, Mitch, and Mahomes to that. So eight new starters in the last 2 years. And then if you take from the 2016 draft, we've got Wentz, Goff, and Dak. So 11 new starters from the 2016, 17, and 18 draft. So there's this almost like youth movement when you almost don't even need to have it. So I think the price on, I mean, everybody wants those younger, more attractive, kind of more hyped quarterbacks right now. So I feel like I can turn around and go get Stafford and Dalton cheap because of this thing. I mean, and then that's not even talking about Mariota and Winston and other guys like that, you know what I mean, and the upcoming draft and the 2020 draft. And there's a lot of young quarterbacks in the NFL right now. Like I said, 11 in of the 32 teams are from the last three drafts. That's a young,
it's amazing
average.
That's young league for sure. So, yeah, that's a good point.
So it starts to, I don't know, I just start to want to go a different direction with it once I get that far into it. Like, I'd part with a few seconds. Like, I'm not the guy that wants to go give a first for Foles, but I'm in a different situation than Two Drink.
Right. Yeah, no, for sure. So, I mean, it comes down to your roster construction. And at a certain point, like you said, is it worth it just to, you know, pay an extra pick, high pick, and get that more established veteran who's on a team who may have some upside where you're able to, I guess, quote unquote, buy low on him right now? It's a good point, Swags. Let's move quickly now to, I guess, technically Pittsburgh for now. So Jerry Rice was saying on a radio interview that Antonio Brown badly wants to play for the 49ers this year. So it's really kind of fascinating, this whole saga that's in Pittsburgh right now, the trials and tribulations of that team, first with Le'Veon Bell, now the Antonio Brown situation, where there's really no chance, I think, he's back in Pittsburgh for 2019. So Two Drink, we'll start with you on this one. If Brown lands in San Francisco, what are your expectations with him and Jimmy G? Would you be buying or selling? What are your thoughts on that potential situation?
Outside of him staying in Pittsburgh, does there feel like there's a better landing spot?
No, not once not you many. Start to think about it a lot, dude.
Right? I mean, everywhere else already has, I mean, that we would want, like, her Andy because I got a lot of money. And obviously, like, Antonio Brown more than T.Y., but that's obviously taken away. I get Kittle is there, and I love some Pettis, and I think that would help. You know, obviously take a lot of coverage away, but, I mean, it'll take a couple of weeks to gel, but it's still Antonio Brown. Like, it's not like you have to put it right on him. He go gets everything around him. So, I mean, is it a downtick at all?
By the time the season's over? I don't think so, man. Not in that Shanahan offense.
Nah, it's going to get fed. It's going to get fed so much.
So, if you're sitting on Antonio Brown, as soon as, let's say, he does sign with the Niners, that's your sell window right there, or you want to ride this out? I don't know if that's what you were asking me, but I'm flipping it.
No, you can flip it. That's totally fine. I feel like Brown has 2 to 3 more elite years of production left in him. So I think it does, again, come down to what your team is right now. So if you are a contending team, I feel like he's a hold. Even when that trade news comes out. Again, if you're a non-contender and that trade news comes out, I think you're right. You get rid of him as soon as you possibly can because his value probably can only go down from there after the anticipation's built for so damn long. So, yeah, I kind of agree with you on that, that once that happens, if you know your team isn't in it and you still somehow have Brown on your team, get rid of him, sell him for the farm, and make out like a bandit.
Yep. I think for me, he's one of those players I feel like that, and I hate this, but I'll say it now. Like, unless I get something that really intrigues me, I feel like Antonio Brown is one of those players that will retire on my team because I feel like he's going to get to the point where the production he's going to give me up until he retires is going to be greater than the trade value he's going to have, even if he in 3 or 4 years slips to the wide receiver 2 production area that people are still going to be. You can't get crap for Larry Fitzgerald the last 3-4 years. Cause you know what I mean? You just get to that right age where nobody wants you. They're always talking about retirement. Everybody starts to wonder. That wonder is in the air and the trade value is dead. So I feel like he's one of those players that unless you do it at that window to drink was just talking about and you sell high, he's going to retire on my team.
That's a good point. That really is.
I mean, what do you think to drink? Like,
I'm going to be 100% honest and intake from a guy over at Dynasty Trades HQ. I wasn't really paying attention. I'm sending out trade offers.
At least you were listening to them.
Yeah, that's true. That's a great listen. Go check those guys out, Dynasty Trades HQ.
Another one of the shows. Two drinks over here trying to get some Nick Foles.
I might have sent a 2020 and something else for a different player we were just talking about as well since Steve wants the waffle.
What's going on? I want to know. Tell us. Like, let's do this, guys.
You just mentioned Andy Dalton, so I just threw that out there, and just I want to see what comes
look
back.
At you. Oh, I like it. I like it. Who's got Dalton?
I'm gonna put a little pressure on Steve. Our boy Camacho.
Oh, he's a yeah. Tough one. Good luck with that.
No, I know. Thanks for ruining any leverage I just had with Steve.
Oh well, you know you're definitely gonna get that deal done. He hates him. He likes picks though, so.
I'm about to send you a counter.
Dalton's 31 years old and he's on IR. Foles is probably right. Definitely going to be the starting quarterback in Cincinnati.
Where's the landing spot? Swags, me and you touched on this with a different player, I believe, on breakdown this week. But where's the landing spot for Foles that we don't love it? Like we saw DeFilippo get the job. I don't know if that's on your notes. I wasn't paying attention.
Yep.
Get the job in Jacksonville. Does that, you know, all I hear down here now is, well, we're doing that because we're going to go get Foles. Every sports radio station down here in Jacksonville, that's all they want to talk about. I'm just like, holy crap. Like, I don't love that.
It's probably better than Bortles, though.
Yes, it is better than Bortles.
I mean, DeFilippo with the RPOs and finding ways to get guys, you know, how they should. I know he got kind of a bad rap in Minnesota. I don't really know that's all on him. But I think even if Bortles were to stay, that's probably a decent hire to even to help him out.
Yeah.
Really, that
you
that
guys are going to be starting Brock Osweiler in Miami?
Shut your face. I really think the only thing, you know, and I don't say only, but Jacksonville, Leonard Fournette was hurt and kind of a, am I allowed to say pussy on here? I'm going to say it anyways. And then the offensive line just got decimated.
Destroyed by injuries.
Their defense wasn't as good, sure, but it's because their offense didn't control the ball and eat clock. And then, you know what I mean? And the defense is fresh. I mean, a healthy offensive line, and even Bortles, you know, brought them to the AFC Championship game, finished as a quarterback, you know, fringe one, that 11, 12, 13, depending on your scoring. Like, why? I don't think DeFilippo coming to Jacksonville is immediately like Foles is there. But if it is, I feel like the 2020 first is maybe a bit of an overpay. It's nice to have a starting quarterback. And I'm not trying to say that to like downplay the offer. Dynasty trade offer alert. I did send that 2020 first to you.
So do you start to like have
I don't live in Miami either.
I know. So, but do you have like that bleed into you a little bit? Do you become a little bit of a Jags fan just by like the culture?
No.
So my question is,
they talk so much trash because I'm a Dolphins fan because they had like a year and a half that was decent, and then back in 99 they destroyed Marino in his last game
all
right, ever.
So I didn't want you to think I didn't want you to think I was crapping on your team at all when I asked this, but I mean, can you imagine like when you get to the end of the season after like 3 years for TJ Yeldon and two now for Fournette and trying to be watching a game when you're on the bench and look excited? Like they were probably looking up at a big screen, like looking at a stupid play from Bortles or something, and just like, seriously? Like we don't even know what they were looking at in that moment. All I know is their heads were both looking in the same direction, and they looked disgusted.
Not at the field.
But yeah, but they could have been looking at a big screen or anything. Like, but can you imagine having to play for the quarterback that's so smart that he taps Allen Robinson on the leg as soon as he's injured?
Oh.
I mean. I don't know. So I can see why that was scrutinized in the way that the media put it in the public eye, and especially in the ownership and coaching and management within Jacksonville. But at the same time, we have no idea what they were looking at, how could you get excited for that? Like you're on a joke of a team, and that's not those two players' fault. Everybody has been pretty high on Fournette and Yeldon and would love to see it happen. Like, I can't imagine putting everything I've got into a team and organization like that.
The only thing you could think of is with the new OC and John DeFilippo, they do have weapons on the outside. I mean, as D.D. Westbrook, Moncrief, you know, they do have pieces out there.
Well, Moncrief is the 1 year, I think. So
he was a 1 year. He was a 1 year. So, but I mean, he did play well. They might bring him back. Who knows?
Sure.
But they do have weapons out there that can get the job done as well. So, I mean, there's chance. There's a chance that he could be decent if he goes there even.
Yeah.
Sure. But let's
what's your guys' trade? What's going on here? Let's get a quick update and then we can get moving, Steve.
All right, quick update. So I just replied to 2Drink. I sent up an offer.
All right. No deal yet. Okay. All right.
There's an offer on the table though.
Come on, guys.
All right. So let's move on now. We've been spending a ton of time on the news and notes. So really quick, we'll just run it down. Ian Rappaport from the NFL Network has been speaking to NFL scouts about Oklahoma quarterback Kyler Murray, who's officially declared for the NFL draft. The scouts have him as a second or third round pick, not the potential projected first round pick I'm sure he thought he was going to be. So I know he's extremely small. We're thinking maybe 5'9", at the most 5'10".
5'8.5".
Yeah, probably 5'8".
With cleats on.
Yeah, so a tiny, tiny dude. But potentially the second best quarterback in this draft, just from a pure arm standpoint, I feel like, and talent wise. So obviously if he was like 6'2", he'd be the number one quarterback, I feel like, over Haskins. So what are our thoughts about Kyler Murray coming out? I mean, obviously the landing spot's going to be a huge matter a lot here, but in terms of an overall prospect, I'm sure we'll break it down in more in depth later, but Swags, any initial thoughts on Kyler Murray?
I mean, it depends on landing spot, like you said, but I think he's a potential 101 in Superflex with the way this draft class is looking. It's either him or see who goes to the Chiefs at running back or a wide receiver.
2Drink, real quick thoughts on that, on Murray.
So anybody's like, he is going to get torched for his hand size. I know that's one of those stupid things that we see at the combine, but I saw a picture the other day And it looks like he needs both hands to hold it. Like, it's going to fall out of his hand. I know that's such a stupid thing to land on, but I'm just telling you, in 3 months, when we're going through this, like, that is going to get eaten alive on him. I just saw, I think it's Mayock or Kuiper, Kuiper's mock draft 1.0.
Yep.
Has Kyler Murray at 13 to the Dolphins.
Oh, wow.
First round. As the second quarterback off the board with Dwayne Haskins going 6.
To my Giants.
To the Giants.
Yep. Yep. I could see it happening for sure. But yeah, we'll definitely talk about all of the prospects as we get closer to the combine, then the draft, and we'll kind of have a full breakdown here across the family of podcasts on the Dynasty Football Network. So definitely check out all of our podcasts as we get closer to the draft. So really quick, some hirings, offensive coordinator hirings. The Lions did hire ex-Seahawks offensive coordinator Darrell Bevell as their offensive coordinator. Broncos hired 49ers quarterback coach Rich Santorello as their offensive coordinator. So should see some goodness there in the running game and hopefully some development of a younger quarterback behind Case Keenum. And as we said before, the Jags did hire John DeFilippo, former offensive coordinator of the Minnesota Vikings. And then really quick, just for anyone who is thinking about playing some DFS this weekend, Spencer Ware should be back. He did get practice, a limited practice Wednesday. I believe he was a full go today. So should see him back in the lineup this weekend. So I'll be intrigued to see what happens with the split between he and Damian Williams. For all the hype that Damian Williams has over the last couple weeks, if Spencer Ware goes back and really just is a 50-50 split, what happens to that value that Williams was generating over the last couple weeks? What happened?
That's not the right person that has Dalton, so that's not going to work.
Damn it.
Damn it, man.
You love it when you DM somebody and ask them if they what they want for Dalton.
They're like, sure, but like, I don't have him in that league.
That's the best feeling. That's always the best feeling.
I'll take the first, though.
Yep. So before
guys, we get... Dynasty trade alert.
Oh, yeah?
I took it, Steve.
Uh-oh. Uh-oh. What happened, guys? Let's hear it.
Steve, see, I offered the 2021st up. Mine just straight up. Steve didn't even bother to cancel mine. He just countered it. Thanks. I canceled my own. That feels good. He added John Ross into the mix and my 2021st. So I said, F it. Let's do it. I need Foles. I need a quarterback. And I still get to keep my 19 first.
So. 2020. Yeah, okay. Yeah.
2020 is a really nice quarterback class. So I'm going to get that back from somebody if it's not that one back from you, Steve. So it's cool. But pleasure doing business. We made a deal work.
Woohoo.
Nice finally, deal, guys.
Weeks of anticipation. Getting it done. A pleasure to drink.
Shane Manila, I'm going to have to we're just going to make a drop of you saying that anytime so we do it, we can use it.
Yeah.
There we go.
Love it. We're the same team, so it works.
Exactly.
Cheers, Steve.
Cheers.
He sure should be like the DFF army, like da-da-da-da-da-da.
Just but it's just him, yeah, it's just him yelling that stuff all the time.
Yes, that would be the best. Oh, my God. So before we talk about Two Drinks Double Shot of the Week, let's talk about GT Bets.
Yeah, let's do it.
Are you looking for some action on today's games? Then head over to gtbets.eu for all your sports betting needs. Get up-to-date odds covering all major sports. GTBets.eu is easy to use. Their simple registration process will have you placing your first bet in minutes. And if you register today, you can earn up to $500 of free money. Now that's a great reason to head over to GTBets.eu, an official sponsor of the Dynasty Football Factory. Simply add Superflex in the referred by field to earn a 100% welcome bonus. GTBets.eu, it's game time.
Hell yeah. Use that promo code Superflex over at gtbets.eu. Get it going for this weekend. Big championship game weekend. So, Two Drink, what is your first shot, my brother?
That was like our funnest news segment ever, and nobody even mentioned it.
What's that?
I said that was our funnest news segment ever, and nobody even mentioned it. I feel like we didn't even talk about the news. We just talked about quarterbacks.
We did for a long time. A lot of it. Yeah.
This is a super flexible podcast, right? I'm just making sure I'm on the right one. So it's perfect.
Yeah, yes, sir.
And we got a trade done.
And we got a trade.
And you got a trade done.
Right?
Tons of unheard of. You guys are so hard to deal with.
Oh, my God.
Maybe you should look in the mirror, bro. Yeah,
I'm gonna give you a second rounder for Foles. Okay, make it 2 second rounders. Okay, we'll get it done.
No, there was more involved in that, got baby in that voice deal.
Too. That's kind of
I know, right?
Like, wow, that's how you sound to him. First shot on that.
First shot. Hit it up.
Yep. Have fun with Foles.
I hate my team already now. The Patriots, who I bet against last week, and that was really dumb. So I'm surprised I didn't hear it more from Pats Nation because you jokers are everywhere. But that being said, I hate the Pats, and I'm not going to bet for them. I saw Edelman. Did you see Edelman's shirt? What did it say? Bet against us t-shirt and the Patriots little emblem at Edelman 11. Go get one of those shirts if you're a Pats guy. They're stupid. Anyways, Pats are at the Chiefs. Chiefs are giving up 3 points, which is basically a pick 'em because you get three for on the road. Looks like it's going to be pretty cold. Wind chill down to 11 in that game. Patty Mahomes, does the pressure get to him? No, it doesn't. Chiefs rock that one out and win by 10. Can't wait to hear from the Pats guys. So I saw something today on the Pats, and I feel like I should bring it up because I really want people to go to GT Bets, Superflex, or promo code Superflex. I want those Pats fans to bet against me because I was wrong last week. So I'll be wrong again for you guys, right? And then you'll win a bunch of money.
Pats fans are always right, dude.
Exactly. This is the first time in the last 67 starts that Tom Brady, and I hate that they list it that way, but that's literally how they said it. Really, it's the Patriots. But Tom Brady is an underdog for the first time in 67 starts.
A lot of starts.
The three games prior to that they were the underdogs, they won all three of those. They're 3-0. I did see that they're 0-7 in playoff games on the road away from Foxborough. That's the same as on the road because that's away from it. So this is also there. Obviously, the Super Bowl doesn't count. That's a neutral side, blah, blah, blah.
Right.
Get out of here with that crap. But give me the Chiefs. It's time for some Patty Mahomes. I think it's a fun game. Like, I think there's, even in the cold, I think there's a decent amount of scoring in this game. You guys want to pick the Pats, don't you? You're silent.
No, I want the Chiefs. I want the Chiefs to win this game so bad. Like, this is a total.
Yeah, I want the pick. Chiefs too. I was kind of looking at your next one.
Next
one's pretty interesting. Yeah.
So,
yeah. Second shot.
Second shot. Rams plus 3.5 at the Saints. Saints won back in week 9 by 10 points in a nice 45-35 game. I get it. It's Sean McVay time. It's Jared Goff time. Give me those Rams. Really, it's the 3.5. It's almost like the sucker's bet, but usually you see that at 2.5. You know what I mean? Go that way to win it outright. But I'm going to take the Rams at 3.5. Give me that points, even if the Saints win by a field goal. But I think the Rams are going to kick it into gear here and take this one on. And we're going to get a rematch of that crazy-ass Monday night game, Rams-Chiefs.
Oh, man, I would love that.
That'd be so
Wouldn't
awesome.
That be a great Super Bowl?
I can't imagine what the over-under would be.
It's hard to live up to the offense of last year's Super Bowl with both guys throwing, 400, 500 yards? Like, that was nuts.
But it's better teams. Better offensive teams.
Right? We got crazy weapons all over the board when this happens, because it will happen. But go ahead. And I would love to see Breeze, you know, make another run, go get a ring. That would be awesome. It's not your time, bro. I'm just saying. Like, yeah, you got one. Be happy of it. It's Rams. It's Chiefs. Double shot, gtbets.eu, promo code Superflex. If you bet against me, you shouldn't. But if you do, I want to know. Come at me. Come at me, bro.
Yeah, hit him up.
Poor lady.
Hit him up on Twitter.
Follow him.
At FLC Drake.
Talk to him. Hit him up. All about it. Right. Don't be mean, though. And don't be mean when your team loses. That's when they really come at you, is like after their team loses or something and they're bitter, they want to talk to you about how good their players actually are. And it's just like, dude, I just was saying I don't like him. Like, why are you talking to me after he lost? Like, you wouldn't be coming at me at like that if he won, and then you'd have something to talk about. It's weird. Weird little thing. People get bitter when their teams lose and want to come find you. You're just like, dude, that was like a week ago I said that. Like, that was before this happened and everything.
Agreed.
All right, let's do our Superflex Dynasty Startup Strategy session here. We'll definitely have a couple more of these as we go on in the off season. But wanted to kickstart the new year on our second show with some startup strategies. Like we said before, it's always startup season. when you're playing Dynasty. So first question off to Drink. So when are you taking your first quarterback in a startup draft for a Dynasty startup Superflex draft?
I think it really depends on where I'm picking in that draft. The three of us did that startup Superflex last year. And I picked towards the end of the first and felt like there was a bunch of guys. Yeah, positional wise, I just couldn't pass on there. And I'd like to say if I did that over again, I'd probably take a quarterback with maybe like that early second round pick. But that's just hindsight because I ended up like waiting so long and getting Rivers and Eli. It's weird to say since I won it. But I'd like to have two probably before the end of the fifth if I can get away with it, you know, just depending on where I'm at. And I feel like I'm starting to abide a little bit more by how Swags kind of goes about it and probably leaving with at least four starters and then you know, waiting on people to come to me and or like you and pick up a guy and have to pay a 2020 first and another player for John Ross in the third year breakout, by the way. I'm just throwing that out there.
Yeah. That's the hope, right? So you
got a shit ton of wide receivers, so it's cool. But
you're good. Two Drink jumping ahead about how many quarterbacks on your roster. But yeah, so Swags, when are you taking your first quarterback? And then I'll follow it up with a Mahomes question.
I'm going to be in the middle of the first run on, and I'm probably trying to grab two there. And it's probably happening in between the second and fourth round where I'm starting to load up. I'm probably not leaving the sixth or seventh without three to four quarterbacks.
I like it.
If you pick towards the end of that second, third, like maybe go ahead and double dip right there.
So Two Drink, you waited till you went in the second.
What?
You went in the second.
When did you pick your first quarterback in the startup?
How'd you answer that? In the second?
I think that's what I said. Yeah. Okay. That's what I would do.
Yeah.
At least one. And like you said, like I'd like to leave probably two before the, you know, the end of the four or five, at least for sure.
So then I'll follow up with this. When are you taking Mahomes? I know we talked about like, is he the first?
No, that's my follow up.
101.
That's my follow-up. You guys have to take a quarterback in the first round because you said Mahomes is 101 overall.
That's right. Yep. 101 in the super flex.
Yeah, but if I pick at 110 and he's not there. Gone.
So you've got the 101.
Mahomes.
Mahomes.
100%.
Y'all are crazy.
Yep.
You're going to take Barkley or Gurley, right? That's fine.
Dude, that's so tough. I mean, just those two alone, like take Mahomes out of it. And yes, I'm taking one of those players. I'm sleeping on it. Like if it comes to my pick and they're both there and I'm on a 8-hour slow draft, I'm like, oh shit, it's time. Like I have to pick between Gurley and Barkley right now. Like that's a tough choice for me.
Yep. So I'll ask you this, Swags. Are these knee issues concerning at all? I know it's like a little ding, but with his history of knee issues, do you have trepidation at all about taking Todd Gurley?
It doesn't worry me a little bit. And the one reason for that is, like you said, they're minor dings, we're going to call them. They are knee issues, so I'm not trying to get away from that. But if we go back to the beginning of the season when the Rams were on their beginning of this rampage, there was already a projected Gurley rest. We were already saying, go get his handcuff just in case they rest him week 16 during playoffs. Like we were already projecting that rest. Add in a little ding to the knee. Like we saw it coming before he was hurt. Mm-hmm. So I'm not super worried. No, like Barkley's going to get dinged up too. It's just his first year, you know.
Okay, fair enough. Same question too, Drink. Are you worried about Barkley or worried about Gurley with the knee issues, or is Gurley still neck to neck with Saquon for you?
It's definitely close, but I'm gonna go ahead and take the Barkley over Gurley at this point, even if it's only for the tiniest of margins over those knees. If you're not worried. I feel like we've probably seen the best of Gurley already. Like, even if he kind of equalizes what he's done in these past 2 years, that's probably as best as it's good. And I feel like Barkley's only got some room to improve with a better O-line.
Exactly.
You know, a better quarterback.
Better team. Yeah.
There feels like there's a high – I don't know about better team. I think that's a little bold. Calm down on your Giants level.
No, I'm saying they won't – I'm saying overall the Giants will improve as a team. They won't be as good as the Rams, correct. But the overall –
That could hurt Barkley, though. I mean, right now he's like the – number one target on the team.
Sure, but a better overall offense is better for a running back in general. I mean, we've said that about the Chiefs. We've said that about the Steelers. Maybe it doesn't matter.
There was a point in the season where Kerryon Johnson had more yards than Barkley, though. And I'm not comparing those talents, but I mean, if we're comparing, injured at that point too.
Let's see what he does with a healthy Marvin Jones and Galladay on the other side too. I'm not saying like that's the end all be all, mm-hmm. but I'm just saying like we were missing a lot of pieces there too. And it was like KJ's finally the guy, and we handed the ball to him a bunch and threw it to him. So I get Eli, a new quarterback
out of a scared shitless situation where they're dumping off to Barkley all day, and we don't know what's going to happen. And you know I want some Barkley, so I'm not trying to crap on the guy, but I'm saying maybe we don't get so excited so quick. Like, I think Barkley and Gurley are
It's about the age, too. You got a couple, four years, three years less, too.
Yep, and, absolutely.
And if we're drafting a rookie quarterback, maybe he's not running shitless, but what do rookie quarterbacks do, you know, generally? They're going to knock it down the easier throw. That's the dump off to, you know, arguably the best player in the league or running back. However you want to do it. Like, I get OBJ's there too, but how do you not say, oh, I could throw it to OBJ 40 yards down the field, or I could dump it to Barkley, you know, 5 feet away from me.
So you think I'm going to change it back to Mahomes. Like, you think that Mahomes is going to get a lot better? Like, there's no room for regression there? Like, Mahomes is just clear cut, no conversation, like 101.
Sure, there's obviously room for regression. You know, 5,000 yards and 50 touchdowns has only been done, what, two other times? Brady on that crazy year and Peyton Manning on that ridiculous year.
But there was no time ever that even in a super flexible league that I would have taken any quarterback 101. Like, not Rodgers in his prime, like nobody.
I get that, and me and you obviously approach the game very differently. I mean, we've known that since day one, Mr. Running Back that's going to, you know, leave the draft with, you know, half the league starting running back. Like, we definitely approach that very differently, and Superflex is absolutely no different there. But, yeah, I get, like, everybody's like, yeah, but I'm not going to have this guy on my team for the 15 years he's in the league. Well, Mahomes probably has at least 15 years, even if it's not on this crazy clip. Like, he's so dang young. And regardless, like, Mahomes will be playing long after Barkley isn't.
Yeah, you're not going to have probably any of those players on your team for 15 years, let alone a running back who's not going to play that long.
I 100% agree. But at some point, I mean, it's too easy for me to look at Mahomes in all these leagues and how much he outscored the next best quarterback by.
Yeah.
And say, like, sure, there's regression there.
I totally agree.
And he could still be the quarterback one by a long shot.
He was like two quarterbacks at sometimes. Like, right. If you had Mahomes and Foles all year long,
even when he wasn't the starter, and you probably still won half your damn games.
Yep.
It's just too easy to lock that in for however long I want him to be on my team, because I can keep him as long as I want, probably longer than majority of dynasty leagues even last. So I totally get that point of it. But it's done, and it's something I never have to worry about.
So now, if you have Mahomes, you're the owner, and I'm going to offer you Aaron Rodgers and Baker Mayfield for him.
Wow.
It's enticing.
Yeah, that's very juicy. I think I'm going to do that.
Yeah.
I think I'm going to do that. Sure.
Because that's the quarterbacks I'm going to get after you take Mahomes with 101.
Okay, well, I'll take Mahomes for 101, and then I'll trade him to you. Now I got two.
But you know,
let's get a startup.
That's kind of where my head's going. You know, like, I think I can still get
Mahomes, regardless of where I take him at 101 at the end of the first round and then the second round, can get me something like Aaron Rodgers and Baker Mayfield. And I paused for a second. Even Steve, you know what I mean? Like, that's ridiculous for that value. So why would I pass on that? Because I bet in a super flex league, I can't trade Barkley for that. It's not the same setup for your team.
No, like, absolutely not. Yeah, you're probably right.
So there you go. That's why Mahomes is 101 for me.
But I don't know that I would give you that either.
I get that, but even just listening to how me and Steve reacted to that when you listen back to this, like,
I just kind of wanted to get a price check.
Sure, but there's a pause there, and I'm like, I don't know.
Give me some Baker.
We're excited about Baker. I think everyone's excited about Baker after last year. So I'll ask you now, Swags, because Tudrin kind of answered the question. How many quarterbacks are you leaving with on your roster after the draft?
A minimal of three, but I want to be at four and at least one fifth that's somebody like a Mason Rudolph or somebody like that that I Project. Think might take a job or, yeah, like I might want to start handcuffing the Breezes and Bradys of the world at this point. Just in case, even if you don't like who's behind them, like grab them now because, I mean, there's a time where Brock Osweiler has a value every year where you can trade him even if you're not going to start him. And that's so gross, but that's what happens when some of these get hurt is
I had to do it, man.
They all have value and then it's like, I didn't even know I owned him.
I started Mullins in that league.
Exactly.
For quite a few weeks. Yep. I had Rivers and Eli. And I mean, he's the reason I made the playoffs even in that league. I mean, I squeaked in at 7-6 and then just ran the table. So for sure there's guys like that. What are the other guys? I'm going to ask Steve because I feel like he hasn't talked to him in a while. We've just been killing it. Steve, the other guys like Mason Rudolph, do you agree with that? I'm going to let you answer that first question that you asked first. But then what are the other quarterbacks like that you maybe want as that fourth or fifth guy, like a Mason Rudolph? Or what are the other names you're looking for there?
Yeah, sure. So I do agree. I definitely want four as I'm leaving. I mean, obviously, it's going to be dependent on roster size, right? I mean, if it's a 20-man roster, I still think four quarterbacks it's hard to do. It is. You want to have three definitely on your team. In terms of, kind of favorite handcuff quarterbacks or younger quarterback that has a shot going forward. I've always been a Teddy Bridgewater fan. Like, I know he's not a younger guy, but I've been a huge Teddy fan since I saw him at Louisville beat Rutgers, like when Rutgers was good on one leg, like him and Devontae Parker is going up and down the field. So I'm a big Teddy fan. Other kind of backup situations. That's the one that's sticking out right now. I mean, you do have your younger guys like your Rudolphs. I don't think Kaiser is going to really go anywhere for a little while.
Swags wants Kaiser as he has him.
He looks pretty awful the time that he seen the field. But I do think if you own Aaron Rodgers at this point in a super flexible league or even a one quarterback league, you should probably look into acquiring Kaiser for cheap.
Yes.
What about Swags, your dude? I keep hearing you say a little bit here and there. What about like the Tyrod Taylors? What about like if we even slightly believe in Cam missing this year? Is Heineken? I'm gonna call him Heineken until somebody tells me.
Heineken.
Tyler Heineken. Where are we taking him? Like if he's the starter, like you said, like Brock Osweiler. Nick Mullins, these guys are valuable. Like, and that's like, are you leaving with him in that startup then?
I don't know. What about like, don't you think it'd end up being a little different than that? Like, even if it's like Flacco for a year or
that's kind of my question there. Is that a guy worth it? Or do you think if that's really the case, do they say, yeah, Heineken isn't our dude? Like, let's go get Joe Flacco, Tyrod Taylor.
I think they would get a Tyrod.
Foles or something,
A stopgap for sure. I think they get a stopgap. Yep.
Okay.
Ryan Fitzpatrick, go get the beard.
Yep.
Also, don't get it on draft because that's trash. Sorry. I guess Heineken will not be a sponsor, so cool.
Nope. we're doing beer takes now as well. I love it. So favorite scoring system for you guys? I mean, backs have an increased value in super flex leagues, but I mean, how many leagues are you playing with that are in super flex with 6-point passing touchdowns? Or have you ever played, are you only playing 4-point passing touchdowns right now?
All my super flex leagues are 4-point.
Are they?
I'm pretty sure. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, you already get such a like an edge in super flex with the quarterbacks. I think if you give it that 6-point edge, it just gives you a crazy amount of value. I like to try to even everything out a little bit.
Yep. So you like it at the 4-point where it rewards those rushing quarterbacks, just a hair more? You know what I mean? Like,
I think if you do it right, everything balances out because, I mean, if you have the proper, like, scoring and bonuses, like Tom Brady gets a little extra if he throws 400 yards, and sure.
Only Tom Brady because that's how Patriots play.
Only the Pats fan offense.
Yeah, that's right. So I mean, there's that too. Like if you the highly regarded rushing quarterback probably isn't going to give you as many yards in the air. You know what I mean? So
yeah,
I think you can even it out a little bit.
Yeah, let me ask you then, Swags. In terms of favorite scoring for bonuses, are you a yardage bonus guy? Are you like a deep score guy? Like, what do you
both
like to?
I like the bonuses, and I don't really care where they are, but I hate those crazy bonuses where I'm playing you and it's like I've got you by a decent margin and I'm going to win, but then all of a sudden you're winning because of one play that got you like 40 points and you're like, what the hell just happened? And you have to literally like look and you're like, he got that who, what kind of bonus is that? Like, so we got 20 points for that plus that for one play. Like, so yeah. I like bonuses. I think they're fun and should be rewarded, but like a 2 or 3 point bonus, not like all of a sudden somebody has like 10 or 20 extra points because they're the only player this week that had 250 crazy ass yards.
Yep.
I have my home league is like that, where the bonuses are almost ridiculous. It's, you get yardage bonus, like an extra 1 point at 300, an extra 2 at 350, and 4 at 400.
Yeah.
That's not that bad.
Not crazy.
But the thing is, like, if you've got somebody putting that up against your team, you're already pretty screwed. Brutal. And then you put bonuses on top of it. Ooh.
And it's the same at like 100, 125, and 150 for running backs and wide receivers. But on top of that, there's a 40-yard play bonus, which obviously those don't happen a ton, right? But you get 2 extra points for a 40-yard catch or run bonus. You also get 2 extra points if for a 40-yard catch or run touchdown. So if Patrick Mahomes throws to Tyreek Hill for 40 yards on the dot, and you have that stack at a 40-yard touchdown, it is like 50 points because you get 2 for the 40-yard catch. You get 2 for the 40-yard receiving touchdown. You get 2 for the 40-yard throw. You get 2 for the 40-yard throwing touchdown.
Wow,
plus the yardage, plus the touchdowns. And it is exactly like you just said. Like, if that's why in that league, like, if you get somebody like that, those stacks, like, literally I need 2 passes from those 2 guys, and I've got 100 points from 2 individuals.
That's on my insane. Team.
I feel like it's just a novice fun, commissioner pushing buttons. Like, oh, well, guess we'll tap that too. Like, oop, yeah, why not? Oh, what's that? They've got it on here. Click.
I get it makes it fun and you get some crazy point totals, but it is rough when, like, from top to bottom, my team really outplayed yours, fantasy wise.
Exactly.
But like you said, but because of, one touchdown or 2 touchdowns, like, I can't overcome my, 9 starting very solid players compared to your 7 meh and 2 super studs.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, last one here.
I don't know if I answered the question, but
keep going. It was good. I liked it. No, it was good for that worked for me, man. About that league. But let's talk a little bit about auctions, just because I'm kind of obsessed with auctions. But so in terms of percentage allocation by position for a Superflex league, like, if you're doing your startup auction, like, what percentage of your budget are you going to allocate to quarterback? So let's start with Two Drink on this one.
So I will be 100% honest here, and I'm very interested in both of you gentlemen's answers here, because I have not played in a lot of auctions. I literally feel like it's 2, and they were both redrafts. I've never done an auction dynasty, so much fun. I don't really feel comfortable in giving my takes here because I don't have experience there.
Okay.
So no, I don't think that my information would be viable in this category.
And I'm going to be true to form and not answer your question directly.
I love it.
I don't think there's any player or position that I'm going to offer up a certain position to or go into the draft. Like, this is my budget for that position. I want to spend like X amount of dollars. Like, first of all, I don't know what our budget is. Like, so let's say we have a $250 auction budget, and I'm probably, like, when it gets to me, I'm that guy that is gonna throw out I don't know, Tom Brady and get you guys to bid on him. Somebody will take him. I don't really want him. Sure. Like, start spending your money. And, like, even if,
the
like,
serviceable to Matt quarterback, throw him up early.
Yeah. Yep. Like, in somebody like that now, even if I can get you to bid on, even if I can get you to get three good deals and make you feel good at quarterback on the cheap, just gets you not needing any more quarterbacks so that when the quarterbacks I come up are there, you're like, man, now Goff's going for that much, but man, I don't need a quarterback anymore. I really want to bid on him, but man, so I want to get the quarterbacks I don't want out of the way. I want to do the same with every position. Like, but I want it to be kind of like sneaky. I don't want it to just be like Case Keenum. Here he is. Like, you know what I mean? Like,
some of the aging quarterbacks still maybe have a few years, but not, you know, past that elite status.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, even maybe somebody like Kirk Cousins, who you know I don't want to own, but he's going to demand a high dollar amount. Andrew Luck, like those guys as well. Like, I want to put those guys out there and get you guys to spend your money on them.
You don't want.
And get them out of my way, get you to spend your money, and then that way your market has changed a little bit by the guys I'm wanting. You know what I mean? But then, so now Two Drink throws out Baker Mayfield and I've got to get involved. I want to have money for that, you know, and I don't want to look too desperate at any point. I don't ever want to be the guy that's like, he just outbid me. Boom, boom. But I also don't want to be the asshole that's waiting until the last second to throw a bid out there single time. Cause
that is one of the biggest pet peeves. And that's why I love doing live auctions. But you go ahead, Two Drink.
I get the point of it pissing you off, but you are a big component of you play the league by its rules. So if there's not a rule against it, and my sole goal of doing that is to piss you off and irk you off.
That's what pisses me off.
Why would I not take full advantage of that? Especially now that I know this.
Because
like
we want to like endorse everybody to have a fun, happy draft. You don't no reason to piss off your league mates from the get. You might actually lose a trade partner or make communication a little bit tougher. Like, just enjoy the draft with your group. Like, I mean, right from the beginning of your startup draft, whether it's auction, redraft, dynasty, if somebody offers you a trade for your picks and you don't want to do it, you still respond to them. Like, you start the communication process for that league from day one. And this is not redraft. You're with me forever, bitches. so I think it's important to just Two Drink, like, absolutely. And like, you're a rare specimen, like, so
that's 100%
what my mama says.
but I mean like, from a real like aspect and like the way I'm looking at it, I mean, that is when that starts. And if I have a guy every time, and Two Drink, I know you differently, but if I have a guy that I'm just meeting for the first time, and every time we're in there, whether it's a slow draft or a fast draft, that this guy, the same guy, like, bids like right when it's all done and you're ready to see who it goes. Even if I don't want the guy. Yeah. Even if I don't want the player, you're just like, oh, it was almost done. And then you're just like, dude, just tell us what you want to pay.
In those auctions, though, like, you have multiple players on the line at the same time, or you literally
depends on the format. So if you're doing a slow auction, yes, there can be multiple players up at
the
one time.
And if you're doing a slow auction, start it now.
No, I love to do a fast live auction. That's my love.
A regular live draft takes 2 hours, you know, 2+ hours, depending on your rounds, or, you know, even longer. I got to anticipate an auction's what, half a day? Like,
it depends. So, I mean, I did a startup a couple years ago.
You do mocks, but those don't really count. Yeah. You know what I mean?
No, it was a super flex deep roster, like 30 people roster on auction. And I mean, it lasted like 6 hours. We took a break in the middle. Like, it was long.
It took a break.
Yeah.
I'll be honest. That doesn't sound like fun.
Well, it depends. So
that's
like,
why you don't need to be the guy that's waiting until the last second to bid.
You want to get things moving. You want to get things moving. Exactly. Exactly.
That's a fair point.
I have a ton of fun with it, though. I love auctions. Like, they're my preferred format going forward. So, but yeah, Two Drink, we'll get you in an auction this year.
Yeah, now I want to do
that's
one.
That's my goal.
I want to do one with you, too.
Sounds so fun. So, hey, we don't get trades done anyway.
That's true.
That's right. Forget that. Yeah. So Tudrink, let's do our quick duds versus studs year-end recap. I know everyone's been waiting for this one, so hit us up.
And you asked me to do something quick. I feel like you learn better than that, but
I should know better. I should know.
So duds versus studs. We started week 10, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, week 9. So something I came up with mid-season there. Had a lot of fun with it. And like I said on previous shows, I'm stoked to start this on week 1 next year and ride this all the way through. I think it actually, you know, really helped a lot of Superflex listeners if you paid attention to it. You know, it wasn't just necessarily for the big differential and percentage there. But a lot of times, like even Swags and my, you know, myself in championship week, we're actually starting those duds over studs on our own team. And it worked out. By the way, we never really recapped week 16 championship week. All three of us were correct that week.
Woo-hoo.
All three of us nice. On our duds over the studs. Like, that's how crazy the end of this year was to me. I mean, Foles went nuts those last couple of games. You know, yep. Guys came out of nowhere. I'm going to start. We had two guests play this year with us. We had the SFB8 winner before he won it, Mr. Sam Lane, FF Stompy on Twitter, if you don't know. One of the few times I think this year he put up a goose egg because that dude pretty much killed it everywhere. But on our show, goose eggs, I felt like just to mess with him a little bit, I had to get that in one more time. my dude J Mike also came on and rocked it with us. That was definitely a fun show as well. J Mike did score. So for the guest of Super Flexible Pod in the first year of Duds vs. Studs, the guest champ is J Mike, 54.63. We have a winner. Nice. All right. So now to the three of us. Steve.
You want a little opening ceremony drop here?
Steve, yeah. No, we probably have to pull the hook because Steve wanted to be fast and we're already over time. The music is playing. I'm not going to go that fast. Steve had a couple duds in there for sure, but boy, on the weeks that he hit. Steve is the only individual between us, me and you, Swags, to hit triple digits on his picks, and he did it both times.
Wow. Nice. Nice.
Both times that he actually scored in this. So Steve...
He was playing a little catch-up.
Through 2 weeks, and it worked. Scored
blank. Catch up.
224 for the year. Literally through 2 weeks, 101.5 and a 122. That was in week 16 when you played Foles like a madman who crushed it that week.
Wow.
In second place and in protest, myself came in at a 299.63.
All right.
I missed a week where you two jokers gave me a bunch of trash, and I pulled in a zero that week.
I missed a week, too.
Fault for missing.
You're welcome. I missed a week,
too. But all of your weeks were trash except for two, Steve. We can't even count those like zeros. Got it. I'll eat my zero, but it is in protest.
Take it.
Mr. Swags took it with a 320.65. He only beat me by 20, not even 21 points, and that's on my 0 week. So that's why it's in protest. I'm demanding a recount for 2019. This one doesn't even count. But Swags is the champ. Give it to him.
Congrats,
Swags. You got to win something this year.
Congrats, man.
Thank you, guys.
You're the champion with all my backhanded compliments as well.
Got to take something home. Got to take something home.
2019. Look for those duds for studs. I want some more listener interaction, too. And this isn't just like, I know Steve played a couple that obviously worked out, but we're playing it for huge numbers. And I think me and Steve or Swags kind of did that throughout the year, too. But these are legit, like, guys we would play over those studs, depending on matchups, which
These are choices we're making, like you said.
Yeah, I feel like in a Superflex league where all quarterbacks are really rostered, it's probably more viable to the listener than like your streamer of the week, like we started in the beginning. Like, yep. I don't know that really helped. You know what I mean? Everybody's rostered, but I can have the option of playing Foles over Matt Stafford in week 16. You know what I mean? And it worked out. And that's legit things. So, you know, we're going to have some fun and play that, but we're here to help you guys too. See what situations really are that week.
Yep.
And that was the least quickest way I probably could have done that. You're welcome.
That was beautiful, man. That worked, though. I like it.
Least right. And quickly just don't go hand in hand with him. He did a pretty good job there.
That was good. Great rundown.
Good for me.
So before we wrap up the show and hit our Superflex trades, let's talk about the Scouting Academy.
Scout NFL football like a pro. Invest in yourself and get a degree in player evaluation and assessment from the Scouting Academy. They've educated NFL GMs, personnel directors, and dozens of NFL scouts. Enroll today and you'll watch the same game tape NFL coaches watch. You'll learn to look past the metrics with position-by-position analysis. This is a time-tested curriculum, a chance to learn from the NFL execs and coaches. Sign up today and get a Dynasty Football Factory exclusive discount for a limited time only. Save $50 when you sign up at DynastyFootballFactory.com.
Awesome. Always hit up that Scouting Academy, man. It's some of the best stuff that we do. Super cool to check out game tape and really learn how to scout film and take a look there. So super, super cool stuff.
I think it's 28 individuals that have gone through that now actually have NFL jobs.
Like, they work in the NFL.
This isn't just like, go take this little thing. Like, it is legit. It is time sensitive. Like, it is like taking some courses, but you will legit like go to the next level.
Yeah, it's amazing stuff. It really is. So if you're serious about wanting to get to scouting and potentially wanting to work in the NFL, check it out for sure. So let's hit our Superflex trade segment and then we'll wrap it up here. We've got a couple of submissions. So first one here, 12 team PPR Superflex League, Philip Lindsay and the 2019 3.04 for a 2021st, 2019 3.11 and Gus Edwards. Swag, we'll start with you on this one.
Well, I know what side I want. I'm taking that 2021st, but I'm going to say, I think you can get more. I think you can do better for Philip Lindsay. I think you can get some usable assets this year that you're happy
broken
with.
Broken wrist.
Yeah, but he's supposed to be back at the beginning of the season.
No,
a lot of people love Philip Lindsay, and I'm all about selling now before Royce takes that job.
Yep.
I like that. Steve. Mr. O-line, is it the Steelers offensive line coach is now
Mike
in Denver?
Mike there now, man. Yep, Mike Munchak's in Denver.
Do you feel like, and they got a defensive head coach now, right? Like that's the way they went. So
yep.
Do you feel like that hire for that offensive line is a better for Royce or Freeman in general? And are you worried about James Conner, whoever it is in Pittsburgh now too?
Well,
Mr. O-line, yep. That's why I'm coming to you, buddy.
Yep, we'll start with Denver. So Denver also, remember, they hired the San Francisco 49ers quarterback coach as their OC. So with that system, that zone system, one-cut system, Munchak has obviously done both power schemes and zone schemes in Pittsburgh. So they'll be able to work with both types of schemes there. Lindsay and Freeman, I think, can work in either. I think Freeman's a better one-cut runner than trying to make multiple cuts in a power scheme. So I think a zone running scheme could really benefit him, like he ran in Oregon. Lindsay, obviously, in that zone scheme, he's got the lateral quickness, though, to really play in that more of a power scheme as well. I know he's a smaller guy in terms of stature, but his movement and his shiftability, really, he's able to find small creases. But he has the explosion note to work in a zone scheme as well. So I'm excited for both those backs next year. I think Freeman's going to have a better year, potentially running the Shanny light scheme in Denver next year. So I would expect, some goodness there from Freeman. And like you said, more of an even split swags. In terms of Pittsburgh, gosh, it's going to be rough with it if AB's gone. Like we saw the couple games when AB missed earlier in the year. It's a completely different scheme, right?
Push your guys' trade.
Yep.
Thank you, buddy.
Appreciate that. Getting that done before the show. So a completely different scheme, right? So like defenses were stacking the box a bit against Connor. We're stacking the box, and it was not as easy without AB there. So I could see a bit of a downturn, even though that system is so great for running backs. That being said, James Connor, I still think is a top 12 back next year.
So in this trade, you're taking the 2021st, or you're taking Lindsay?
Well, I hope so, because that was the trade I made. So, I didn't tell you the guys that.
I didn't see a name there, so I was wondering.
Yeah.
There first, like a cheater, to make sure you got yours in. But
that's right. So I just wanted to get you guys' opinion on that one. So I did make the trade. I got the 2021st and Gus. In that case,
I want Philip Lindsay.
Yeah, I figured that.
No, I'll take the first. I like that trade for you. And I'm assuming you have, a decent amount of running backs. Like Lindsay was a guy you picked up either late in the draft or on waivers.
He was a waiver pickup. Yeah, Melvin Gordon's my number one there, so happy with him for sure.
So super quick, since we've been all over the place this show, are you now going to go out and trying to acquire Dixon, or you're not interested? You think Gus is going to be the job, or that was just the extra piece you were happy with?
There's another one coming in.
That's not rhetorical either. I'm wondering, like, what are you thinking?
Yeah, so that was an extra piece in the trade. I do think I will try to get Ken Dixon, though, just to make sure I have a Baltimore running back, pending if they, God forbid, they draft somebody.
Yeah, that's happening, by the way.
Well, it'll probably happen, yeah. But I will try to pick up Ken Dixon just to make sure I have the current basis covered there for Baltimore.
I think Collins is gone.
And in this class, that's probably a fourth or fifth round pick anyway. So you would hope maybe those guys that have known the system at least hold it for a little while. Maybe you can move them, you know, into the season as they're performing before that rookie kind of takes over, if that's the case.
Exactly.
I still like your play.
Yep.
Yep, me too.
Cool. All right, next one here from Frankie with a PH underscore D, 12 team, half point PPR.
Oh, Frankie. That's how I say it in my head. I don't know if
I like it, though. I like it. So we got a 12 team, half point PPR, two quarterback, two tight end league. This one's especially for Swags. So Kenny Galladay in the 1.05 or AB.
So I think his name's like supposed to be like a take on PhD though, like PH rank E D.
PH ranky D.
Like PhD.
Whatever. We're gonna find out.
It's a confusing Twitter handle. So all right.
I like it.
Yeah, I like it a lot too. But I'm taking the Antonio Brown side here.
Oh, I'm surprised.
I kind of am too.
Yeah. But I agree.
Figured keep the show moving.
So, you know, I'll slow it down for a minute. I'm also going to take AB. I really thought I could get you to go the other way. So, 261 votes here. Gade and 105 side, 51%.
Wow, nice. Really? I'll tell you, that's crazy. That's also why you can't go get Antonio Brown for that right now. Nobody will make that deal.
I would agree. That's why that's another reason why I put this on here. A, I thought I could get you to go Galladay side because you're a super homer for your life.
But I mean, everything we just talked about with like the 49ers and stuff, I think that could be a serious situation. Like, I would almost be surprised at that this point if that doesn't happen somehow.
Agreed.
So,
all right, next one. No format, unfortunately, this one. So from JKL Mafia, Juju. It is super flex league. So this Juju or Baker Mayfield and Chris Godwin.
Oh, I did see this one earlier too.
Yep. Two drink.
I'm not a fan of Godwin. I'm not saying he's bad. I'm not saying like I can't see him like, you know, definitely elevate this year, especially in a Bruce Arians offense. That's gotta feel better than where we were.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like I have Juju in a few Superflex
leagues.
What
if Godwin was Callaway? I mean, what's it take to get you to do that deal? Like, I'd definitely take the Baker side of this.
Yeah, that would feel great because you know I love a stack too, especially in a Superflex league. And yeah, I'm going to take Callaway over Godwin as much as that might piss me off.
And I know that's not the deal, like, but I'll take Baker.
I think I will do Baker
over Juju straight up.
And then I'm going to trade Galladay to Steve in that league. Yeah.
You mean Godwin?
I don't know what I said, but yeah.
To Galladay. Galladay for sure.
I would trade Galladay to Swags. Like, I know where my market is.
Yeah.
But I really do not want to give up Juju, like, just for the fact of how much I like him on my team. But Baker's right there, too, and it's a Superflex league. So I feel like you're almost forced to go that way.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like Juju.
I really don't want to see this trade on my inbox, though, in those Juju. I'm just saying. Like, please don't.
Juju's a tough dude to sell, for sure.
He is. He's such a high-quality asset right now because he's so damn young, and he's going to be the one next year in Pittsburgh.
But think about how quick that happened. Think about how quick that happened, though. That is some of the biggest price increase we've seen. There's a few other examples, of course, but I think that there's a few other players that could still happen with where you're so happy with Juju right now. I think it is for real. He's so young, blah, 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 Juju. We don't need to talk about it. Everybody hears it, but
that's why they're worth so much. You know, the wide receiver that's young, that's already performing at that level. Like, galore.
But give me Baker and Callaway. Give me Baker and Ridley. Yeah. Give me Baker and...
Just Baker. You already did it straight up. I'm not giving you more now.
But I'm just saying, like, go find... Go get Christian Kirk cheap. Go get some of these guys that haven't hit yet, because one of them will. I'm not saying all of them will, but...
Take Kirk over Godwin too. Sorry, Steve.
Yeah, me too. But I agree with that now. Go get some of those guys a little bit cheaper after you trade Juju away, and
yeah, no, I hear you.
That's just kind of where I'm at.
That's just one of those players that I don't want to leave my team.
I'm gonna go back and just be that dick. It's only a wide receiver.
You're a dick, anyways. You don't have to go back. Let's keep the show moving, like we said.
All right. We got two left, and then we'll sign off here. So from I am Shane Elliott, Leonard Fournette, or Matt Ryan and James Washington. We'll start with
Swag. This is also a super flex?
Yes.
So hold on. Before you answer, I do have a little bit more information about this trade. Running backs are Melvin Gordon, Leonard Fournette, Dalvin, and Ronald Jones. That's the only four I get. The quarterbacks are Goff and Bortles.
Oh, fuck. So. Does that change the show? Sorry.
Man.
Does that change it for you?
I don't care about James Washington. Ryan. I don't even know why he's in this.
Are you for real, though? If we just said AB to the 49ers, do you not?
Washington's the number two.
No, no, you're absolutely right. No, I was thinking something else. So
Matt Ryan coming off the quarterback two, I think.
Yep, monster year.
Yeah, I'd probably monster lean year. The Matt Ryan side of this. Fournette's kind of tough to move.
Yeah, I'll take the Ryan side also.
So I will also take that side, and again for the reason of the Galladay Antonio Brown side, Leonard Fournette 51%. We had 665 votes on this one.
Wow, nice.
Like. Where do I have Leonard Fournette, and can I get this deal, please? Send it to me if you're listening.
No.
Get it.
Anywhere I have Fournette, I will take a page. No, I want both pieces.
So
giving something back.
Go get Matt Ryan, James Washington, Fournette. And then go to Two Drink and you can have Fournette.
There you go.
Because clearly Fournette is the winner at 51%. Like you should want Fournette.
Yep. And for those of you that aren't proof here with us, pudding. We just seen the Two Drinks phone in our face with that not, tweet.
You can't even read it. Next question.
All right. Last one here from at DynastyVC23. 12-team Superflex League. It's a PPR, also a tight end premium league. This is a fun one, I thought. So Melvin Gordon, David Njoku, and Justin Jackson for the 2019 1.01. 1.02, 2.02
players,
and a 2020 first.
Players too easy.
Wow. Okay, I agree with you.
I want. I mean, the 101 I get wanting to have because,
and 1.02.
But I, yeah,
I agree with you though. I want the players. I want Melvin Gordon.
I want guys that I feel like I can win with this year, not guys I'm gonna. You know, I don't feel like we have the instant stud performers. In this year's class that way.
Yeah, I agree with you.
I believe 101 and 102 are worth a lot. And, man.
What if the right running back lands in the right spot, though?
I don't want to wait on the picks at this point. Like, if you're going to give me Melvin Gordon and it was Njoku, is that what you said?
And Gordon, Njoku, and Justin Jackson.
Jackson.
Do you think you can get this deal done during your rookie draft?
If you're sitting on the 101,
the same deal during your rookie draft, do you think you can still get this deal done?
Sure. Yeah, I get it.
So I'm going to take those picks, man, and I'm going to fish them all year and see what I can make happen with them. And you're still sitting on the 2020. There's tight ends in this class. I think if you can't get one that you can trade that 102 for any tight end you want, almost. Same with that 101. Man, I don't know. This is a tough one.
I get it. I want to play lazy and get the studs that I like. I like both Melvin Gordon and Njoku a lot.
Me too.
Like,
me too.
I'm not gonna say those are my guys, but like I want those guys on a lot of my teams, and I have them on a lot.
Yep. And if Melvin Gordon was in the rookie draft, I'm definitely taking him 101.
Yes.
But 100%. I don't know
the.
That's
for sure. I don't know. And in a tight end
premium, 102. Joku's what am I doing? That. Yeah.
Middle first at worst. I mean,
no, yeah, you're right. I mean,
is crap too. So,
I'll probably stick probably that Melvin fair. Side. I'll stick the Melvin side.
I get it's fair. I want the players I know of, not at this point, not knowing landing spots and being in that draft. I could see one on both sides, especially like I get people not liking Melvin. There's a lot of people that are thinking maybe he's starting to break down a little bit. Maybe Njoku never really puts it together, but I like all those guys. So yeah, I'll take the players.
Yep. Unanimous. So right now it's a newer trade. So only 99 votes in. Okay. The pick side is actually up 55-45 right now in terms of votes. So a slight edge to the picks, but very, very close right now. So
I'm gonna go out there and tweet that and fix that. So you're welcome.
Yeah, hit it, man. Get it. So before we sign off, let's find out once again, Swags, where can the folks find you on Twitter?
I'm at @DFF_swag.
To drink.
@FL2DrinkMinimum, @SuperflexPod.
And I am @TheRealHolupkin, @SuperflexTrades, and we are out.
If you liked today's episode, please give us a 5-star review. We love them. Until next time, always be building.
I like it.
5 stars.
Hit us up.
Steve.
Yeah.
John Ross, you want a project wide receiver? You think he hits this year? Like, it's already pushed through. Can't take it back.
No, I like John Ross. Like,
Third year?
It's a pet project of mine. Like, just to get shares of him. I just love the pedigree. I love the potential talent. I think he's a useful piece of that offense.
I'm pretty stacked at wide receivers in that league. Like most leagues. And I think I still have 3
Thanks shares for joining the Superflex Bowl podcast. Superflex Pod. One of the many podcasts brought to you by the Dynasty
Football Network. If Foles is up in Miami, I'm going to be so happy.
Available anywhere you listen to podcasts. You can subscribe to the show and get every podcast as soon as it releases straight to your phone. While you're there, go ahead and rate and review the show. That helps the show out more than you know. It helps get all you Superflexers the best content that you want to hear. On Twitter, follow the one.
I had to go cancel 3 other trades.
And 2Drink. @FL2Drink. But wait, there's more. Subscribe now. We'll throw in all the other podcasts we get for free.
We should need to come back to this.
Dynasty Warzone. Daddy Wash.
I know somebody's got a running back.
Dynasty Cash Crusher. From Dynasty Football Fellas. And a rookie Twitter podcast. Remember to tag @SuperFlex Pod and @SuperFlex Trades for all your SuperFlex and your quarterback needs. Use that promo code in all caps, SuperFlex, and get that $500 match.
With a super flexible podcast.
I mean, Swags is never trading with me because he's a jerk to trade with.